Awesome. Now, come on. How y'all doing, second service? That's good. That was loud. All right. That's awesome. Listen, for the last month or 5 weeks or so, we've engaged in a series called More Than Enough. Can we say more than enough? Can we say Jesus is more than enough? Jesus is more than enough. Very good. Nice and loud. Listen, we've been going through Colossians, the book of Colossians. It was written by a guy named Paul. Paul is an apostle. If you're new to church, Paul was he was a guy that actually killed Christians. He was very rooted in the law, I guess you could say. He killed Christians for being Christian and then became a Christian. Amen, right? Isn't that amazing? Think about that just for a second. When you have enemies against you for your faith, God has bigger plans. So here's Paul. He's sitting there in prison while he's writing this to a church called Colossae, because a guy came to him, Epaphras, that's how I say it. This guy comes to him, he's also in jail, and he's telling him about this church that's a young church, but unfortunately this church, they're being influenced by the strong religious culture, they're being influenced by the Greek philosophy culture, and they're mixing it in with Christianity. It kind of reminds me, if you ever talk to Daniel from India, Daniel Chittimurri, he talks about sometimes they have to really break that because the people will bring Hindu and then they'll bring Jesus into it and he's just one of the gods, right? But this is kind of what Paul is talking about. So he writes this letter to this church of Colossae. Now, to get this letter for this church, that's like getting a letter from thebomb.com, okay? That would be like getting a letter from, who's a really, really big speaker right now? I don't know, Franklin Graham wrote a letter to Pioneer Christian Fellowship. We'd probably listen, right? It's a big deal. So in this, we've been going through it verse by verse through these chapters, and we've been looking at these things. Number one, first week, is we found that Paul talks about that Jesus is more than enough hope. That's hope you can believe in. And it's more than enough. It's not just a little bit of hope. It's more than enough hope. Jesus is more than enough hope. The next week was more than enough light. We're in a dark world, aren't we? And it seems dark, but we have to remember that Jesus is more than enough light. Even the people that you're thinking about, your coworkers, those around you that don't know Jesus, God can shine a light and show them the darkness they're in. Amen? Jesus is more than enough light. Jesus is more than enough security. Oh, sometimes it feels like this world is an absolute mess. Amen? What a mess it feels like. But you know, there's more than enough security in Jesus. Reminds me sometimes of, you know, my kids when they're scared run to me and say, "Dad, I'm scared." And I give them that security, but he's even more than enough security that I could give. He's more than enough that anyone could give. And then finally, peace and purpose. He is more than enough peace and more than enough purpose. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. He is more than enough. Today I'm going to say, if you're taking notes, you're wondering what I'm talking about, Jesus is more than enough life. Let's say that together. Jesus is more than enough life. Look to your neighbor and say, "You need some life." Some of you need some life. And I'm not talking about caffeine. I know some of you got some life this morning. You get jittery. I'm talking about more than enough life that comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. If you got your Bibles with you, if you would turn to Colossians 2, verse 6. While you're turning there, I just want to tell you, we will be covering Colossians 2, 6 through 27, but I'm going to spend most of my time on these first two verses in Colossians 2. So Colossians 2, 6 through 7. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So this morning, I want you, if you could close your eyes. I know it feels weird. Just close your eyes for a second. I know some of you have kids. Okay, you can look at them. That's fine. But close your eyes, and I want you to picture with me a tree. It could be any kind of tree you want. I don't care what kind of tree it is. Some of you right now are picking the apple trees. I think of Tom Britton's probably. Are you thinking of apple trees, Tom? Yep, he's got an apple tree on his mind. Some of you maple syrup people, you got maple syrup on your mind. You can open your eyes. But whatever you were picturing right there in that moment was a healthy tree, was it not? If it was a dead tree, that's a little creepy. I would wonder why are you picturing a dead tree. But no, you're picturing a healthy tree. In fact, trees are usually a symbol of life. And the same is in the Bible. If you look just right in Genesis, we find out that God built this beautiful garden. In the garden is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know that tree. But then there's the tree of life. The tree of life. And Adam and Eve could go to it whenever they wanted. In fact, we read in Proverbs of a man that's righteous is like a tree of life. We see all throughout Scripture, even in Revelation, as Jesus is compared, again, to the tree of life. That is a callback to the garden. Trees are incredible source or a credible, what's the word I'm looking for, picture of life. Now, since we're talking about trees, I thought it would be a good idea this morning to give you some dad jokes when it comes to trees. These were inspired by my father, Mike Whippy. My father is the king of dad jokes. We didn't call them dad jokes, we just called you corny, right, back in the day. So I got some dad jokes for you today, see if you guys like these. Number one, what did the tree do when the bank closed? He opened another branch. I love that reaction. There you go. How do trees get online? They log in. I love these. I love them. My kids get mad at me too, Dad. It's okay. How do you properly identify a dogwood tree? By his bark. See, now you're starting to pick it up. Now you're getting in the dad mode. Why was the tree stumped? He couldn't get to the root of the problem. Oh. Why don't you ever invite a tree over for dinner? Because they never leaf when you want them to. I'll give you one that I didn't give in the first service. This is what you get for coming to the second service. You get more, okay? More than enough. How did the elm tree know the fig tree wasn't looking for anything serious in their relationship? Because it asked for no twigs attached. Okay, I'll give you one more. This is my favorite. What is a pine tree's favorite singer? Spruce Springsteen. I love those. So, okay, now we got trees on the brain, right? We got trees on the brain. Let's read Colossians 2, 6 through 7 again. Let's read that one more time. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. I want to boil down these two verses into 3 points for our discussion today as we're talking about trees. Number one, be planted in Christ. Then be rooted in Christ. And finally, we're going to talk about grow strong in Christ. So let's talk about the first one, be planted in Christ. That verse 6 says, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Paul is telling this young church, well, again, I had mentioned before, they're young Christians, they're young in the faith. He's saying that you have received Christ. In other words, you have said, yes, Christ, I want you into my heart. But then he says to make sure you continue to live your lives in him. I call that being planted. Being planted in him. Imagine if I had a tree with me or some kind of plant, I don't know. I know that the Britons are very big into plants, and let's say we pulled one out of the ground, and I just held it here and stuck it on the table, but we never planted it, it would die, right? The plant needs to be planted. That's why they call it a plant, okay? The tree has to be planted in order for it to grow. It has to find the soil to go to with the right nutrients, has to find the right sunlight, the right temperature. It has to be planted. But just as it's important for a plant to be planted in the ground, we also have to be planted in Christ. The problem is, a lot of Christians get to this point, unfortunately, they'll get saved, but they don't get planted. So what happens is that they find themselves like a tumbleweed rolling through the desert without having a home. There's no stability. There's no feeling like they're in a place. And you'll hear them say things like, God, where are you? But when things were going good, they weren't asking God, where are you? They'll be the ones that are asking for God to reach out. Please help me, God. And when he does answer their prayer, they uproot and leave. It's important to be planted, but more than that, it's very important where a tree is planted. 10 years ago, Jess and I lived in East Aurora. It was our first home. We got that first-time home buyer's credit. Remember that? We got it, and I didn't have to pay it back. It was awesome. You paid for it, so thank you very much. I'm sorry, okay? I know some of you might be bitter about that, but we had this first home. And although we had a nice little cash flow in this home, I remember when I bought the house, you know the realtor thing, the blurb that they talk about the house? They always make the house sound better than it really is, don't they? They're like, luscious green gardens. Mine said, park-like backyard, park-like setting. The problem is, parks have trees, and our backyard had no trees. So I don't know how a park, like what kind of park doesn't have trees? That's a sad park. A park like setting in the desert, maybe. I'm not sure. So I got to this point where I said, I want a tree. And one Saturday, now if you know anything about me, I'm kind of impatient. So when I get the idea, I usually go do it right away. And then also I'm cheap. So I had to find a cheap way to get something done right away. So I went into my father's woods to find a sapling. Like a tree that was small enough to fit into my car and big enough that it was going to live. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I just knew I needed a tree. So I go to his house. Now I come to think about it, I wasn't in your woods. I was in someone else's woods, but we hunt it, so maybe we can take their trees too. We don't have permission to hunt it either. So you're learning so much about me today. So I go down there, I had a Subaru Outback. I got this thing opened up because the tree was a little too big for the back seat. And I dug this thing out, shoved it in there, and drove it from Arcade to East Aurora with this tree pretty much dragging on the ground behind me. Now the tree was maybe my height, something like that. My wife watches me going in the backyard. She's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm planting a tree. She said, it doesn't really look like that. It looks like you're not planting a tree right now. It looks like you're killing a tree. But I had the faith, okay? I had the faith in my abilities to plant a tree. I've never known that. So I dig a hole. I stick this thing in the ground and cross my fingers and hope that it lives, which apparently you're supposed to do, right? So I had it. I didn't tie it down. Did I tie it down with anything? I think I just stuck it in the ground. You know the tree I'm talking about, right? Okay, so it was a maple tree, stuck it in the ground. I stuck it in the ground. Now, here's the crazy thing. We moved from that house. The tree was growing. It seemed to live and survive a year or two that we were there. But then I started thinking, like, I want to give that as an analogy that the tree is healthy and still living, but I don't really know if it's still living. So I drove over there on Friday. Nobody was home. I made sure I knocked on every door and window. And then I creepily walked in the backyard of my old house and went and checked the tree. It's good. And then I kept thinking, like, what if they come home? They're going to see this Polish fat guy in their backyard. What are you doing? I'm a pastor, and there's this tree. I planted this tree. Like, how do I get out of this? Anyway, I'm here to tell you this morning, that tree is awesome. No, seriously. That tree is tall, it's beautiful, it had just like the perfect like golden colors coming off it, and it was a maple tree, it's thick, and I thought to myself, wow, I did that. I transplanted that tree. Come to find out, I've done some research, a lot of these little trees, they don't make it in the woods. because of all the big trees that are taking up all the sunlight. They're taking up all the nutrients. Some of these trees don't live. In fact, the other day, I was cutting down some trees with Bucky Carter for hunting purposes, and I pushed down. I literally, this little tree just didn't make it. I could just push it over, and it died. Now, but here's the thing. It mattered where that tree was planted. It may not have survived. Maybe it would. Maybe it wouldn't in the woods. But it survived in Josh Whippy's backyard in East Aurora after he drove it there with a Subaru, okay? Because it got the right soil. It got the right sunlight. It was everything that plant needed to survive. And it was on the location that helped it. Now, here's the deal. Jesus is everything you need to be planted. If you're in soil that is unstable, you may fall down, you may not make it. But if you are in the right soil with the right conditions, in the right nutrients, with the right sun, am I getting everything right, Tom? Thank you, okay. Didn't pass biology, but I'm doing better now, okay? So here we go. So it matters where the plant is planted. We need to be planted, solidified in Christ. We have to be there. He says, continue to live your lives in him. Don't uproot and go somewhere else. Don't be transplanted to a different soil. Stay in his orchard. All right, so listen, that's the first thing, is to make sure that you are planted in Christ, because he is more than enough life. Amen? And number two, be rooted in Christ. Can we say that together? Be rooted in Christ. This is an agricultural term that Paul is using. He's specifically right here talking about plants, trees. This is exactly what he's talking about. And I think he's talking about it because roots are incredibly vital for a tree to live. Without the roots, it can't live. You may remember in grade school that if you take the roots, you put them in the ground, what happens is right at the tip of these roots, they go out and they're looking for nutrients. They're sucking up nutrients. And I would call that like food. The trees are eating to live. We need to eat to live, right? Our physical bodies, but also our spiritual bodies too. Bucky, a couple of years ago, we were at a father-daughter/son father kids event. It was cool because I don't have any sons, so I brought Adeline with me. We went out to this, it was in the wilderness somewhere out by Cuba or something. I think it was at Frank Maytash's place. And we're out there, and after a long, long day of children just being children and being tired and sleep deprived, we found ourselves around this fire. And if you know anything about Bucky, especially, is Bucky has very, very deep thoughts. And he asked probably the deepest question that I've ever heard in my life. You ready? He said, if you could only eat 3 meals a day for the rest of your life, what would they be? Talk about a deep question. The first question I had in response to that question is there any consequences? Right? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, because obviously we like to eat. Who likes to eat? I like to eat, okay? It's pretty obvious. My tree trunk is large. So he's asking me this question, and it was crazy because it was the first time I can actually think, like, literally 3 things for the rest of your life, what would you pick? Bucky had it all planned out. He had everything. He knew it from, I mean, he asked the question because obviously he'd been thinking about it. So I had to think there, and I came up with, you know, I love sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwich on a bagel. Oh, that's my favorite breakfast sandwich. So I'll eat that every day. Anybody else? Any other sausage, egg, and cheesers out there? Okay. So I said that, but here's the thing. The better question is if you could only eat 3 meals for the rest of your life spiritually, what would they be? What are you feeding on? What are you eating? What are you eating spiritually? What is being fed to your soul? Paul talks about to this young church, he says, listen, there's 2 things specifically this young church was feeding on that was not going to give them the nutrients they needed for their tree to grow. There were 2 things. The first one The first one is sin. Paul says, and it's pretty obvious, right? Sin is something that we shouldn't do. But Paul goes on into detail about how a Christian has been saved by Christ from sin. In verse 13, he says, when you were dead in your sins. Dead in your sins. It reminds me of when we look at Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is death. Now, sin is just missing the mark. If we're aiming towards God, right, that's what we should be aiming for, we're going to be hitting God. But sin is when you're missing the mark continuously, and unfortunately, like if you're hunting in the woods and you keep missing, and that's what, how you have to live, you're going to die. Right? You have no food. It's a great analogy for that. I just came up with it in my head. But the wages of sin is death. Paul is saying you have lived your whole life in eating, your nutrients are taking up sin that has actually caused you to die. But here's the good news. He says, when you were dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He made you alive in Christ. That's the good news of the gospel, amen? So if you are dead in sin and alive in Christ, don't go back to eating of the sin because you're alive. A lot of diseases happen to trees. It's one of the reasons why they die. You've probably heard of the Dutch elm disease, right? That's the one that knocked out a whole portion of woods that we had behind our house. The Dutch elm disease is very invasive. It comes and it can kill an entire forest. However, the most common diseases are actually a little bit more subtle in their work. They're killing more trees in total than a disease like the Dutch elm disease. These diseases can be called the armorilla root rot, the oak wilt. These pathogens invade the trees through their leaves, their bark wounds, and their roots. They damage the tree from the inside out and kill it. That is what sin does in our lives. We're sucking up poison and it's killing us. But Jesus, he is the reason. He is the doctor. He is, what is it called when you work with trees? What is that called? Somebody who works with trees? Arborist. He's the arborist for our lives that says, listen, I'm here to give you the medicine. I'm here to give you the right nutrients. Don't be soaking up the poison. Don't be soaking up the disease. Soak up on me so that you can have life. That's how we get life, is through him. Don't be soaking up on all that negative stuff. Now, the other thing that Paul warns us about, he's warning this church and us. So we had first and foremost, we have the sin, but this other one is the religion, okay? Pastor Jeff explained to us just a couple of weeks ago that there were a lot of false teachings. I had mentioned that earlier. There were false teachings that you can be whoever you want to be, like this one. The false teaching that was when they were mixing Christianity with elements of Greek philosophy. And also like angels and stuff, like that they could talk to angels, and it wasn't rooted in good things. So Paul is explaining it in verse 8 of chapter 2 of Colossians. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. And then I read it in the message because sometimes I feel like I just need it to speak a little bit more clearly to me, and hopefully this does it for you as well. Let me read it in the message. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They will spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and empty superstitions of spirit beings. We see this in our culture today. we see people, you've probably heard it before, right? It's your truth, whatever your truth is. No. There's one truth, okay? It's Jesus. They'll say, well, if it's good for you, if it makes you feel good, then it's probably okay. I'm sorry, there's a lot of things that make me feel good, and obviously they're not all okay. You know? All roads go to heaven. All roads, if you're just true to your own compass, this is all rooted in human tradition and spiritual junk. That's not true. There's no life in that. It's poison. It's religious poison. And it comes straight out of this culture that is a godless post-Christian culture. That's what I heard yesterday. I heard someone who was a politician talk about their faith. Had nothing to do with Jesus. Had only to do with the faith they had in people. No offense to y'all. I don't got much faith in people. I have more faith in Jesus. That's where I get my trust. That's where I find my nutrition is through Jesus, not through people. Because if you find it through people, you're going to be that dead tree that I knock over in the woods. You know what I mean? Your truth. Ugh. Listen, we died to that. Don't pick that up. We died to that. That was death. We were dead in our sins. We were dead in that fake, false religion. Don't eat of the death of the world. Eat of Jesus who gives life and life abundantly. Because it's not about what I do. It's about what he's already done for me. Thank God, right? It's not about how I'm doing, although I want to live for him, because when I'm rooted in him and not my own stuff, then guess what? I want to actually do better for him. It's weird, isn't it? I'm not trying to earn his forgiveness. I'm not trying to earn his love. I'm just living, and I have my roots just soaked up in his love. I love that. He is more than enough life. Second was how they were treating the religious law. Now, the religious law, see, it was weird. They had the Greek philosophy. Then they had this religious Jewish law that is trying to tell them all these rules and regulations of how what they're doing. For example, Paul says it here in verse 16 of chapter 2 of Colossians. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. That was a problem back then. What you ate or drank. Now, that's not in the Bible. We see it throughout the Bible that they're trying to change this. It's not about what you put in the body. It's about what comes out, right? With regard to the religious festivals, the new moon celebration, or the Sabbath day. Remember, Jesus dealt with the religious people on the Sabbath day. They said, you can't work. He said, I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. And they were like, well, that doesn't fit into our religious box that we made. Well, God doesn't fit into a religious box that you made. But meanwhile, we're eating of that religious stuff, and it's filling us up. Now, how many of y'all had your parents say to you, now, don't spoil your dinner. Don't eat all that junk food and spoil your dinner. So raise your hands. How many of you have heard that? My mother-in-law, I think Jess left. Bye, Jess. Bye. Kids' church starts next week. Hey, she got three daughters, and I can't help. So my mother-in-law, she's a Southern belle, right? And she's from Kentucky, actually. So she got this thick accent like this. How y'all doing? It just, like, echoes in my brain. I love her. Love you, Teresa. But so she does this thing where she cooks for us. Now, I can remember many times. It's just like my mom telling me growing up, don't eat all that. You're going to spoil your dinner. My mother-in-law takes that very seriously. Very seriously. So if she sees me snacking on something, it could be a walnut. She's like, don't eat that. You're going to spoil your dinner. Because I'm fixing some dinner, y'all. You know, fixing. My kids are like, what does fixing mean? Also, when she says, cut that light on. What does cut the light on? That's so weird. Southern things. Bless your heart. That's what she says when I'm an idiot. And she feels bad for me. She says, bless your heart. Oh, bless his heart. That means you're just stupid. So she'll be working in the kitchen, and she makes the same thing every day. Meat, taters, and some kind of vegetable, okay? Whatever she could find, whatever was on sale, to be honest. Meat, and I'm talking just a roast, right? We're just sticking a roast in there. That's what you get. That's what you get. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. And then she gets all mad at me. It's just what I live through every time I go down there. Now, here's why she's mad. If I'm eating the Doritos or I'm eating Oreos and she's fixing a quality dinner with all the nutrients that I need and I'm filling up on junk food, I'm not going to have any room for the food that she's making. God is saying to us, some of us are so fixed on that religious food that we can't eat of what matters and what he has placed on the table for us to eat. His food is more than enough life. So if we're all messed up over here and we're like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe they believe this is okay. This isn't okay. That's what the problem is that we're all messed up on the stuff that has nothing to do with the table that Jesus has died on, the life that he has. He's saying, I'm giving you more than enough life. Come eat from my table. And we say, no, hold on. I'm really mad if that person has an earring or not. What, do you see what I'm saying? You're filling up. Excuse me. If I could get some water, that would be cool. You're filling up on all the junk. But thank you, Pastor Jeff. I don't know what's going on. But you're not eating from the table. We're going to spoil our dinner, folks. If we're eating of all this religious junk that has nothing to do with the central purpose of what Jesus has done, we're missing the message. We're missing the point. I do Rooted Youth Ministry on Thursday nights, and we split up into small groups. Now, I'm not a part of any of the small groups, because if I am, then my leaders can't lead, because then I take over. Thank you so much. You are a blessing. Can we give it up for Pastor Jeff? High quality H2O right there. So I'm talking to these kids, and I move into different groups and kind of interrupt them for a while. And I went into the 9th and 10th graders, and I asked them the question, what is legalism? One kid looks at me and goes, I think something to do with China. China. It's all about China. We're not going to let that happen. I've been working on my Trump voice, okay? Actually, if you look out that window into the church window, you guys are getting, this second service is way more fun. If you look out that second window, you can see Trump in the window over there. He's got a mask on, though, so thank you, Roscoe. He likes it. Anyway, Trump shows up everywhere. We put him everywhere and stick him in the offices, scared Pastor Jeff. It's awesome. What the heck am I talking about? Okay, so legalism. So they asked me, what is legalism? Like, they didn't know. And I thought that was crazy. And so I told them, it was like it's a bunch of rules and regulations that you make that are not central to the message of Jesus. And if you focus on them too much, then you're not going to be able to give Jesus. And they're like what? So I gave them this example. I gave them this example when I was in high school. Middle school, high school, this was probably middle school. There was a genre of music that was out there called ska. Anybody know what ska is? Yes. Pick it up. Ska, for those of you who don't know, I can see the same face that those teenagers gave me. Ska was a mixture of reggae and punk rock fused together with horns. So you'd have a trombone, you'd have an electric guitar, you would have a saxophone, bass, drums, a whole nine yards. And that was the style of music that I was into. Now, there was a Christian band called the Orange County Supertones. Orange County Supertones, they got very big for a while. And this is really early on, and they came out with an album called Supertones Strike Back. That album rocked, okay? I was so excited with it. I gave it to one of my friends who came from a very fundamental, legalistic household. I gave it to him with good intentions, thinking he's going to like this music. He did. Problem is, mom and dad didn't. it was the backbeat of the drums, is this, that. But the number one thing of why he couldn't listen to it was because the way they looked on the cover of the CD. Now, there's seven guys, which is ridiculous, seven guys in a band, and that's why Scott didn't live. Scott's dead now because he can't feed all those mouths. And there's seven guys on the front cover, and they're all standing like this with just no expression on their faces. It's black and white. They're in suits and ties, which I thought would be a win for this family. Was not. And it was all over something silly like the way they look and the sound of a backbeat of a drum. And I told them, I'm like, we have drums at church, you know, but believe it or not, that is, and I told them, the kids, I said, some people don't believe drums are allowed in church. So they leave churches because that they don't want to have, that thing is so important and messed up that they're not eating from the table that Jesus gave them. Not eating from the life. So here's a question. If you're sitting here, you're thinking, well, maybe I'm religious and I'm eating the junk that isn't filling me like Jesus is. I have three simple questions that I'm asking myself, I'm going to start asking myself even continuously, I made these up this week, is number one, how's my relationship with Jesus? How is my relationship, not my thoughts, not how I feel or think, but my actual relationship with Jesus? Is it strained? Is it distant? Am I consulting him or am I consulting Facebook first? Am I consulting him or am I Googling things instead of searching his word and speaking to him and eating from his table? If you're not eating from his table, then you must be eating from something else, either sin or this religious spirit. That's the first question. The second one is, how's my relationship with my Christian brothers and sisters? Is there division? Because of this stuff? Is this stuff causing me not to be able to have relationship with Christians because we don't see eye to eye on certain things? Newsflash, you're never going to. If you don't believe something we believe here and you go to another church, you're going to find something that they don't believe that you believe. This is what happens, but the division, remember, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So the division is the enemy gets you so wrapped up in the junk food, in the religious junk, that you say, I can't stand this, I'm leaving. And the enemy goes, got my way. They ate from my table. The Lord's saying, no, eat from my table. And it's subtle because it's like those diseases that are subtle. They look good. It looks like you have control. It looks like you're on the right place, that you're committed and you're strong. I'm committed. I'm convicted. But at the same time, you're distancing yourself from the church. And the final question is, how is my relationship with the people of God, or the people that God has asked me to minister the gospel to? How is my relationship with the lost? Here's a really good indication. If you're looking at the lost, those who are not in Christ Jesus, if you're looking at them as the enemy, you might be eating from the junk food of religion. There's no nutrients in that. You're filling up on nothing. Because God has called you to minister to those around you. He hasn't called you just to minister to Christians. He hasn't called you just to minister to your family. He's called you to minister to the people and the circles that you find yourself in. But if you're only looking at them as the enemy, how can you minister to them? We have to change our perspective. We need to get out of this religious junk and this little religious bubble and come over and eat from God's goodness, his life, Jesus. We eat from that, and now we get the heart of God for the lost. Do you know he wants to save the lost? Sometimes I feel like we forget that, right? We pray revival, but do we realize that's rooted in Jesus going and giving life to everyone? Even that neighbor that you hate that has the sign in their front yard that you don't like. And then you put up your sign, and then they put up another sign, and you put up your sign. You're in the junk. You're in the religious junk. Because, you know, there is a religion of that, too, in politics. That could be a religion for some people. I've been struggling with this myself. Am I putting up these religious walls where it's harder to reach the people God's called me to because I put up these walls that make me not be able to communicate and talk to them? These are the questions we got to ask. These are the things that we have to see that will indicate whether we are filling up on the junk food or filling up on the Jesus food. Because as trees, we need his life, and he is more than enough life. The third thing is grow strong in Christ. Colossians 2:7, it says, let your roots grow down into him, say into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. See, if a tree is planted in good soil, if a tree is rooted in taking the right nutrients, then what is the result? A strong and healthy tree. This is the result of being planted and being rooted in Christ, is that you will grow strong and healthy. It's interesting because trees, the root system, it's amazing. Just do a Google search on trees' root systems. They actually talk to each other, which is even weirder, but that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. These trees, you look at a beautiful tree, okay, that tree I had you picture earlier. Think of that beautiful tree. That tree has roots that you can't see that are so far down and wide. It's like an anchor for that tree. This is what Paul's saying to them. Grow into him and on him so that you can be strong and healthy tree. That when the winds come of deception, when the winds come of pain, when the winds come of hurt, that you can live and withstand the storm. I was in the woods, I know, in the woods again. I was in the woods yesterday, and I didn't notice it until I kind of sat down, and there's these two trees that kind of, they're about to fall over, but another tree's holding them up. And I'm looking at these trees, and I realized that the reason why that they fell is because their root system, I could see it, wasn't very deep. It was in bad soil. But I felt like that was an analogy for us, is that if we're rooted in the wrong things, if we're planted in the wrong soil, then we're going to topple over like these trees in the woods. Jesus, listen, there are no dead trees in Jesus' orchard. None. And they're all fruit-bearing and beautiful and wonderful. They're full of life because the trees have planted themselves in the ground and they have rooted themselves. They are taking the nutrients from the arborist. Arborist? And they're taking those things and they're growing beautiful and strong. This is the picture that Jesus has, that God has for Christians. When you're looking at a beautiful tree, you're amazed. I am. If you just look at the glory of a tree, or you look at this tree that has beautiful fruit coming from it. My dad's got these apples. I'm talking honkers, man. This year was a crazy year for apples on these trees. As a result of a healthy tree. As I look through these things, I'm wondering to myself, if we're called to be these trees, it's got to be for his glory. Has to be. Not for your glory. You benefit from it, right? But God wants to benefit from it too. Because religion does not offer the rules and regulations. Sin does not offer, they don't offer life. Jesus offers life. I said this earlier, but Jesus said the thief comes not only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have came so that they may have life and life abundantly. Abundantly. More than enough light or life. So as you're sitting here, have you ever gone, anybody ever been to a buffet? Show of hands, have you been to a buffet? Have you ever ate and you're like, I'm full, but that was so good, I will take the risk and go up for more? Obviously, I am one of those people. But here's the point. When you're walking up, there's all this shame almost. Like, he's really going up again? Is that three times? There's no shame in going up to the table that Jesus has given you. You can go to this daily, every day, 24/7. You can have so much more life. Because he's so much life. He is so much life, I can't get enough. I need more. He's more than enough life that I just want more. I crave more. He's the only one that satisfies you, yet you want more at the same time. The world can't even offer that. Doesn't satisfy you. Jesus said time and time again that he's the bread of life, that we need to be eating on him. If we want to be strong, if we want to grow strong, we have to be feeding on him. In closing, I just want to end on this last part. Overflowing with thankfulness. The result of a tree in the best soil that's planted, not uprooted, staying there, that's digging deep into the ground with its roots, taking the nutrients. The result is a tree that bears thankfulness. I don't know where you are this morning, but I feel as if the Lord is saying to us today, some of you have not planted in him. Or maybe you were planted for a while, but you've uprooted and you've left, and you feel like that tumbleweed that's going and moving and moving and moving. I feel like the Lord is saying to you today, be planted in me. And maybe you're like me, and there's things maybe it's sin, maybe it's religious stuff that you get so wrapped up in that you're feeding on it and your tree isn't getting the nutrients because you're feeding up on the junk and you don't have room for what Jesus has. I feel like the Lord is saying, come to my table and eat of me. Lord, I pray this morning, not just for Pioneer Christian Fellowship, not just for myself, but for this entire, your church. As Jeff prayed earlier, Lord, we need you to pour life into us. Lord, let us be those roots that are just sucking up all of your nutrients, all of your goodness, all of your life. Lord, because you died on a tree, you died to give us life. And as it says there, we are alive in you. Lord, I pray for anyone that's here. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never, ever, ever said yes to Jesus and you want to plant in him and you want to have your roots down in him. It's very simple. You just say to him very simply, Lord, first of all, I am sorry for the sins that I've done. I'm sorry for the mess ups that I've done, the screw ups. I was feeding on the wrong thing. Lord, I was planted in the wrong soil. Maybe I wasn't planted at all, but Lord, I want to be planted in you. I want to be rooted in you because, Lord, I need your life. I want to grow strong in you. Say, Lord, would you be the ruler of my life? Lord, I want to commit to you. I want to follow you all my days. I want to eat from your table. And Jesus says, you are forgiven, and I'm giving you life. More than enough life. More than enough life. But again, maybe you're here and you're one of those people that you're like me. There's times where we get into these dry seasons and we're eating of the wrong things. And maybe it's starting to show. Maybe your heart is getting hardened towards people. Maybe your heart is hardened towards issues or things going on in this world and you just need life. Maybe you could just hold out your hands to him this morning and say, God, would you just fill me? Fill me up, Lord. Fill me with your life. So not only that I can have that, but I can give it to others. As we prayed earlier and we sang, he turns graves into gardens. He's able to take these negative broken trees, somehow breathe life into them so that they can grow more abundantly. Lord, we're praying that you would do that miraculous gift right now, Lord, that miraculous act in our lives. Breathe life into us. Breath of God. We need you, Jesus. Just tell him you need him this morning. Need you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray that we would keep coming to your table, that we would keep coming to eat of your goodness in your life, in your love. Lord, that we would go to your truth, that we wouldn't go to the world, that we wouldn't go to the religious stuff, that we would go and eat of your table daily, 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 Lord, that we would be praying without ceasing, Lord, that we would be thinking of you 24/7 a day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Can you give the Lord a round of applause? The Lord is good, isn't he?